Welcome to Fantasy Football Insights, guys. I'm Chris Brunt.
I'm Braden Fogle. How you guys doing?
Today, we're going to talk to you guys about a couple of the key players, and we've been out of the business here for a little bit, and talk about some players that we haven't really been just talking about much this offseason, and then we'll go over the AFC North and McShay's new mock draft. So let's start with some players here. Who do you got? What do you think about Andre Ellington?
I mean, I like him. I like what I saw out of him last year with the Arizona Cardinals. The problem is that you do have Rashard Mendenhall in front of him in Arizona, but they could come to the point where the Cardinals part ways with Mendenhall, which I think would be really good news for him. He was one of the most consistent running backs rookie-wise last year, averaged six yards a carry, if I'm not mistaken.
5.5.
Same. I mean, still good numbers. If you take Mendenhall out of the mix, I think Ellington, with all those extra touches, he's a good pass blocker, good run blocker, and I mean, he's a really good receiver out of the backfield, so he brings that extra, the extra part to that Arizona offense that needs those offensive weapons, and I like Andre Ellington a lot next year, even if they do still have Rashard Mendenhall.
I love him. We had him, I think, fifth round in our first mock that we did. Everybody freaked out about it. Everyone's like, why do you take Andre Ellington so high and all this? Well, the thing is, if you give Andre Ellington the Mendenhall touches, which is 99 more carries than what he got, Andre Ellington finishes as the eighth best fantasy running back with 1,196 yards, 371 yards receiving, with six total touchdowns. That's the eighth best fantasy running back. So that's incredible numbers that you can maybe expect from an Andre Ellington if they decide to go that way. So that is something that we can look at. The next player, I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about is Jay Cutler this offseason.
And I do. I'm not as big of a fan of the Jay Cutler deal as much as other people are. He really hasn't done much to show me as a Bears fan that he can really carry the Bears to a Super Bowl. They definitely have the offensive firepower, and their defense was a huge letdown next year. But look for the Bears' defense to get back on track next season. And the Bears' offense is just going to keep going. They still have all the weapons. Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett. They have the offense to make a huge run. It's just how consistent is their defense and how healthy can the players on the offense stay, because it always seems like Jay Cutler's facing an injury. We were very lucky enough to have Matt Forte have a full healthy season last year. We're going to bring in, probably keep Josh McCown, which, I mean, he's always a good outlet just in case things with Cutler don't work out. I think we might have overpaid him a little bit, but I think he's a very valid fantasy option next year. I like him a lot. What do you think?
Oh, I love Jay Cutler next year. I don't think he was overpaid. A lot of people are going to talk about him being overpaid. What they don't realize is, you're giving him all that money in the first 3 years. The last couple of years, he's only making like $14 million. And that's where Jay Cutler's going to start hitting his prime. And what your plan was to sign him now and make him happy so you can re-sign guys later. In 3 years, Alshon Jeffrey will be a free agent. Brandon Marshall will be a free agent. So they can do that. And there's no guaranteed money. So if Cutler's terrible, they can cut him in the last 2 years, do nothing for him. So you'll have that. Then you look at, if you combined McCown and Cutler's numbers, they're the third best fantasy quarterback. So if you take their fantasy points and add them together, they're the third best fantasy quarterback. So the thing I like about Jay Cutler next year is if you can get him to stay healthy, Jay Cutler could finish as a top five fantasy quarterback next year easily.
Yeah, and definitely within that division, they don't really have good defenses in Detroit, Green Bay, or Minnesota. So
yeah, all the secondaries are absolutely terrible there. So Jay Cutler for me is the top 12 quarterback right off the bat. I have him like 12.
Easily top 12.
But he could easily be a top five quarterback just in a blink of an eye.
He has weapons that other quarterbacks do not have.
Yeah, something that the Bears can actually do. They can actually do what the Broncos did last year with 10 touchdowns from Walker, 10 from Decker, 10 from Thomas, Moreno. 10 from Moreno. Yeah.
Both Thomases.
Yeah, both Thomas. Yeah, so they have five guys who get 10 touchdowns, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, exactly. That's something that they could do. The Bears it could be a little bit more tougher trying to find that third receiver who could get 10 touchdowns, but definitely if there was a team in the NFL to do it, I think it could be them.
Oh, absolutely.
Then the next player we were going to talk about is Nick Foles.
I mean, I like Nick Foles a lot. He definitely burst onto the scene last year. And speaking of the Eagles, they also agreed on a $25 million deal for 5 years with wide receiver Riley Cooper. I feel like that's good news for him after the beginning of the season last year. But when you talk about Nick Foles, you're going to bring it up in just a little bit. Really, when the interception started coming, he started being a little bit more hesitant and scared to throw the ball, which resulted in him taking more sacks, which isn't really what you want in an offense when you have receivers wide open. But with Chip Kelly's offense, I feel like they're going to take this offseason and just work things out, patch things up. You're going to still have LeSean McCoy. You did sign Jeremy Maclin to a one-year deal, which gives another weapon to Nick Foles, which he is still a young quarterback. This was really his only real first full season as a quarterback, so he learned a lot. And you're going to bring in a wide receiver like Maclin to help him out. DeSean Jackson, if he's there, he brings a lot of explosiveness on that offense. And you got two solid tight ends with Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. So I like Nick Foles next year. I love him as a fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, the thing I have a problem with Nick Foles is he's going to, if you take a sack rate, he's on pace for 40 to 50 sacks next year. So, and with that offensive line, they're fast moving. They get the ball in their hands quick. So he shouldn't be taking 40 to 50 sacks. That would lead the NFL. He should get nowhere near that number. He should be in the 20s easily. The problem with him was Nick Foles came obsessed with not throwing interceptions. I know that sounds like a good thing, but it's really not, because he wasn't throwing the ball even in wide open windows because he was worried that he really didn't even trust his arm most times. Like, I know in the playoffs, for example, I wish we had a video show so I could show you the video, but there was a play, it was 3rd and 15, and the Eagles were in field goal range. Well, Nick Foles had three receivers wide open. I think DeSean Jackson, Riley Cooper was open, and I want to say it was Brent Celek. It might have been Zach Ertz. They were all three wide open, and he looked at Jackson, saw he was open, looked away, went back to Cooper. Cooper was open on a comeback route, and then he saw Ertz sitting in the middle, and he just ran backwards and took a sack. It's like he didn't believe in his arm, and it took the Eagles out of field goal range. Made him had to punt. Saints went on and scored a touchdown. That's a huge play in the game. Actually, could have cost him the entire game. So that is something that you got to look at. And Nick Foles, I like him. He's number 6 quarterback for me, I think. But he's a guy that I would look to add in most of my leagues. Like, if I can get him in the 5th round, I'd feel pretty good about that.
Absolutely.
But it really depends, like, where all the quarterbacks are going to kind of lean up. If, like, somebody's going to take Foles in the 3rd round, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not reaching for there.
No.
Then we'll go on, talk about McShay's mock, then answer some questions, and then we'll break down the AFC North
Sounds good.
You guys. So, Todd McShay did a mock draft, and in this mock draft, he said that the Texans will take Blake Bortles, number 1 overall.
I think that is ridiculous. I don't think the Texans should really pass up on Johnny Manziel. I think Johnny Manziel is the clear-cut number 1 draft pick. Even if he has a rough rookie season, he's still going to bring in a bunch of money because he's from Houston, or the Houston area, from Texas. So he's going to bring in a lot of fans, which is what's going to make your organization a lot of money. So you look at it from that standpoint. You also bring in a very talented quarterback like Johnny Manziel, who can make plays with his legs and with his arm. I don't think they should take Bortles. There's too many question marks around him. He has a tough time moving around in the pocket, and honestly, some of his throws at times are questionable, and he played at UCF, which that's not exactly your typical must-draft quarterback college-wise,
no.
And I think there's just too many question marks around Blake Bortles. The talent's there. The size is there. The dude's huge. But
arm strength, everything.
Absolutely. Let another team make that mistake, okay? This is the first overall pick we're talking about. You do not want to blow it on a risky player, in my opinion.
Yeah, Bortles is a risky pick for me because you look at everything that they do, and it's not, you look at what he does, and at UCF, he was good. The problem with him was he struggled against, I mean, he actually played well the entire season, but you look at what he did wrong, there wasn't a whole lot of what he did wrong. The thing, I mean, I can't really make a case for not liking him. My problem is there's just that gut feeling that I don't really like him that much. He's not this almighty gifted athlete who's going to run all over the place and be able to beat you that way. He's Bill O'Brien's type quarterback. He's that prototypical size, prototypical arm. Problem is I don't trust him really with the Texans offensive line, and I would go Johnny Manziel. I mean, from a marketability standpoint, that's where you got to go. and Vogel's going to take you over the rest of it for you.
All right, I'm looking at the second overall pick that McShay has. He has Jadeveon Clowney going to the Rams, and I actually don't mind this pick. I think Jadeveon Clowney should go second overall, thinking that the Rams aren't going to draft back. They might draft or trade back, get more draft picks, but I think Jadeveon Clowney is clear cut because they're still going to be rolling with Sam Bradford. I mean, they drafted him in the first round, so I mean, they're not done with him yet. That offense has weapons. They have Zach Stacy. They also have Tavon Austin. You have a lot of players like that. Austin Pettis, who had a really good rookie season. So you just want to keep building on that defense, and their defense is actually really good. Problem is that they're in such a good division with the Seahawks, with the 49ers, and the Ravens, or not the Ravens, the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals have a really good defense as well. So the Rams are just trying to keep up and keep getting pass rushers. You already have Robert Quinn, who made it to the Pro Bowl this season. Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney, an amazing pass rusher, such an athletic player. He could be that piece for that team in the long run. They can figure out the issues on offense as the season goes on. And I love the draft pick of Jadeveon Clowney. Going on to McShay's third overall pick, he has Teddy Bridgewater going to Jacksonville. This is I'm not sure how I feel about this one. Jacksonville actually just signed Chad Henne to a two-year deal, showing that they want him there. I mean, he is that veteran who can only step in and run an offense. I don't see Chad Henne being the answer whatsoever. Bleacher Report actually released earlier that Michael Vick might possibly also become a Jacksonville Jaguar. It's just rumors as of right now, but keep your eye out and keep listening and just see where that story goes. But you're going to bring in Teddy Bridgewater, who, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the draft, obviously. But they're passing up on Johnny Manziel, which is Chris Brent, and I think Johnny Manziel is the best quarterback in this draft. Teddy Bridgewater, he's just kind of the guy that we're just waiting to see. Him and Blake Bortles. There's a lot of question marks around him. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is more of a game manager, in our opinion. He can't really... He can make plays with his legs, but not as much as Johnny Manziel can. But I think Jacksonville is moving in the right direction. They are realizing that they need to finally get that quarterback. They thought they had it with Blaine Gabbert, and that has completely been a big fail. So at least Jacksonville is moving in the right direction with quarterbacks, and I mean, that is the prime need on that team. They're probably going to lose Marshawn Drew in the offseason, so you're going to want to get that passing game going a lot. You have a player like Justin Blackmon who can definitely help out the young quarterback that way. So Teddy Bridgewater at three, I mean, it makes sense to me. It's just you're passing up on a player with as much talent as Johnny Manziel. You're just not sure how that's going to exactly go.
Yeah, I like Bridgewater a lot. The problem with Bridgewater is his hands aren't very big. And you look at Bridgewater, in Jacksonville, it rains a ton. It rains all the time in Jacksonville. So the problem is if it's so wet and his hands aren't big, he's not going to be able to hold on to the ball. Jacksonville, if they take quarterback, I think their best chance is taking Johnny Manziel, who has the biggest hands in the draft and can actually do that. But if you go with Bridgewater, I mean, that's the way you can go. I really think they want Clowney, though. I really think they do.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, as McShay has, he has Clowney going pick before that.
So with that happening, I think the Rams are going to trade out of the pick or maybe just try to take Watkins. They might reach for Watkins. I don't know what they'll do. It's going to be tough telling, but Bridgewater, I don't think, is a great fit for Jacksonville, but I think Bridgewater is going to be a good quarterback. Even though I have an interesting stat. You look at the last, 25? I'm doing this off the top of my head. I could be wrong. Last 25 quarterbacks to get their hands measured at 9 and whatever Bridgewater's hand size is, they said that all of those guys are only averaging 5 starts a year.
Wow.
So that's something to kind of be worried about maybe. I don't know, but I still like Bridgewater. I think he's going to be a good guy. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's just that. And then Cleveland takes Johnny Manziel. I think if Sammy Watkins is still on the board, they should take Sammy Watkins.
Over Johnny Manziel?
Yes.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, Cleveland actually had a really, in our eyes, they had a bad season last season, but there were a lot of silver linings from last season. Mm-hmm. You find weapons, obviously, such as Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron.
And we're actually going to cover the Browns, too. So
yeah, and I mean, you got Brian Hoyer, who actually played really, really well last year until he got injured. So you bring in a player like Sammy Watkins, you add him and Josh Gordon, along with Jordan Cameron's in the mix. That is just...
That's a nightmare for a secondary.
That is such a nightmare. And Josh Gordon would actually really appreciate and love that, getting a lot of pressure taken off of him.
Because you can't double him.
Absolutely. You can run jet sweeps with Sammy Watkins. They can almost use him like Seattle and Minnesota is going to use Percy Harvin, you know?
And a lot of people are going to forget, Cleveland also has a pick later in the draft. Yeah. Maybe if they want, if they really feel that they need a quarterback, go ahead and take Jimmy Garoppolo at 21. Who cares?
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm at. Like, and five, I honestly think if he's still on the board, it'll be Johnny Manziel of the Raiders, and I don't think it's close. But the Raiders have been talking about maybe going after Derek Carr. Yeah. I think it's a disaster.
Well, McShay has Sammy Watkins going to the Raiders. And, I mean, most mocks that we've been seeing, that's who they're going to go with if he's there. It's just praying so much that they do not whiff on any more picks. This could finally be their getting across the line of missing on Calvin Johnson and finally drafting the right wide receiver. The Raiders just have so many holes, it's just you don't know where to start with where they should draft. But if they draft Sammy Watkins fifth overall, I'm not going to be mad at all, because they're moving in the right direction. They're going to be adding weapons to that team. That team needs so many things right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think just by looking at the draft, like looking at the players, I see Blake Broidles in a Raiders uniform. That's just how I see it happening. That's how I see it. I think Broidles is going to the Raiders, and that's how I think it's going to go. But Greg Robinson for Atlanta, they're going after offensive tackle. Greg Robinson, best offensive tackle in the class, going to the Falcons.
That is such a good draft pick, because those running backs have such a tough time getting through the holes, and Matt Ryan will actually finally feel a little safer behind in the pocket.
What about this, though? Crazy scenario. Definitely won't happen. I still want to bring it up. Sammy Watkins to the Falcons. They put him in the slot. Roddy White, Julio Jones on the outsides. Absolute ridiculous receiving core. It won't happen, but that's absolutely crazy.
If that did happen, then we would. Atlanta would then be probably the closest team to be able to replicate what Denver did this past season. That's insane. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's something really awesome to think about.
Then we have Khalil Mack, linebacker, going to Tampa Bay. Which I think they're going to do. I think they're going to build the defense in Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, their defense is really what they're trying to get. Obviously, you bring in Lovie Smith, who's a really good defensive head coach all those years with the Bears. So I think Lovie Smith's going to come in and just really focus on that defense. And you can see that defense be a huge improvement in our eyes next season for the most part. That offense is okay. Like, they have pieces that can really do a lot next year. It's just really fixing that defense, because that defense goes against so many good offenses. You go against Atlanta twice a year. You go against New Orleans a couple times a year. There's just a lot to worry about. So you bring in a linebacker. You bring a linebacker such as Khalil Mack, and you also play the Panthers, which linebacker is so key when playing the Panthers, because you have Cam Newton, who can run the ball a lot. So, I mean, the Buccaneers are obviously going to worry about the defense this offseason.
Yeah, there was reports, though, that they would look at Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins is just the glorified you just want him on your
team. And they're not going to rule out drafting a quarterback. Which I don't think they need a quarterback. I think Mike Glennon's good.
Yeah.
And I think he's big. I did not like him coming out of the class. But I think he's big enough, and I think he's good enough to play in this league. He's got a power arm. His problem is he just didn't really have the receiving weapons. I mean, Vincent Jackson's not a fast guy who can get open.
Vincent Jackson's really the only guy they had, and they discovered Timothy Wright this past season. You have Mike Williams, who got injured last season as well. So
that's where I'm going. So if the Raiders decide they're going with Derek Carr, maybe Tampa Bay slides in and is like, well, Johnny's still on the board, we'll just take Johnny. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see kind of where they go.
If the Texans pass up on Johnny.
Yeah, and I don't really see that as a possibility. But the Vikings take Justin Gilbert at cornerback. I think this is a tremendous move, because they need – I know they need a quarterback, but there's quarterbacks like Michael Vick and everything in free agency. I think they need a corner. They have Xavier Rhodes, but that's it.
I mean, you saw what Alshon Jeffrey did against the Minnesota Vikings last season, going for over 200 receiving yards.
They allowed the most points in the NFL, points per game, too.
Yeah, and I mean, you also, like I was saying earlier, you see who the Vikings have to play this, like, twice a year. You play the Bears twice a year, you got to worry about Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. You got to worry about so many good quarterbacks.
Calvin Johnson,
and we're going to come up on the Detroit Lions draft pick, and it'll make a lot more sense then.
Yeah, and you also have to worry about Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb.
Exactly.
And
just the quarterbacks in that division is ridiculous. So Xavier Rhodes, who was a rookie this past season, he had a really good season, actually. So you're going to bring in a young cornerback, which they're going to go young, and they're definitely going to find those two cornerbacks that they can work with for a while. And that is such an important thing to have because cornerbacks can really help build a defense.
And they brought in Mike Zimmer to be the head coach, which I really like that. He's known for pretty much developing corners and helping out linebackers, that kind of stuff. He'll be good. Bills take Jake Matthews, offensive tackle. I think they absolutely need it because C.J. Spiller just didn't seem to have the holes.
No, I mean, like both. When you watch a Bills game, you watch C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson getting hit behind the line and kind of having to make up for the yards after a couple hits. So the Bills' offensive line is a huge upgrade. You also want to protect E.J. Manuel, who was injured this past season. So definitely the offensive line is a huge issue that the Bills want to face this offseason.
And then the Lions, we think this is an awesome pick. You get Mike Evans.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, if you do this, Mike Evans, I believe, is the smallest receiver on the team.
At 6'5".
I'm pretty sure he's the smallest receiver on the team. Yeah, because Calvin Johnson's 6'5". Evans would be 6'5". And then you'd have Fourier at 6'7".
That is one big group of receivers. And Detroit fans finally might actually get what they've been waiting for such a long time, a wide receiver to help out Calvin Johnson. I mean, Nate Burleson was there for a while, but, I mean, he never stayed healthy. And he really never stepped in like fans wanted him to.
Yeah, they need secondary help. Bad. But I think if Evans is there, I think you have to take Evans. Even though I think Evans is a bit of a head case. We saw in the Duke bowl game what happened to him. Like, he lost his mind that they were losing the game. And Johnny had to go over there and hurry up and try to get his head back in it. Because Evans was done. He checked out of that game. But, they still won the game, whatever. But Mike Evans maybe has to work with his attitude. I don't really know if that was a fluke thing or what. I've never seen that before. So.
He's got a great mentor, though, in Calvin Johnson, who is very calm and collect. And he just goes upon his business and does work. So maybe he can learn a little bit from Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, so, I mean, that rounds out the top 10 of the mock, and that's what we were going to cover. Now we're going to kind of move on to the AFC North. We plan on kind of doing one for every division. We'll try.
A podcast for every division, yes.
We're going to try our best. In the AFC North, you have the Ravens, Steelers, Browns, and Bengals. And we're kind of just going to talk about all those teams. Let's start with the Ravens. What do you think is their biggest issue this offseason?
I think it's just getting that offense back on track is the real issue. I mean, that defense... The defense actually played pretty well this past season, given all the players they lost. But you have that offense, which has to get Ray Rice going. That was their biggest issue this past season. You signed Dennis Pitta to a 5-year deal, which...
Yeah, they didn't have Dennis Pitta all season, really, except for the last, like, 3 years.
They were dealing with Dallas Clark, and I mean, because you lost Ed Dixon. So you signed Dennis Pitta for 5 years. You have Joe Flacco, who you'll hear every word about Joe Flacco. Thing is, the guy won a Super Bowl, and he has a big-time arm. You have Torrey Smith, who he had an okay season. Like he didn't exceed expectations by
any. Well, he's not a number one receiver.
Exactly.
He's a guy who stretches the field. You need a guy who's a chain mover, and that's not Torrey Smith.
They also have Marlon Brown, who had a really good rookie season. So I feel like it's just getting that run game going, figuring out how to get Ray Rice into open space, because when you looked at the year they won the Super Bowl, that was really what it did. Like, you got Ray Rice out in space against the Chargers. He picked up that fourth and however long, which advanced them in order to make playoffs. So just finding ways to get Ray Rice the ball and probably bringing in another weapon is what the Ravens need to do, in my opinion.
Okay, well, their biggest issue this offseason is Ray Rice going to not be in prison?
That's true. If you haven't heard the story, he got in a little tussle with his fiance.
Yeah, well, that's supposedly the report. And
I mean, I don't know how much you can really deny that, considering the video that's out of him carrying his fiance's body out of the elevator.
Yeah, dragging, actually.
Dragging, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really know what happened. I mean, we don't know what happened in the elevator. Maybe she passed out. Maybe they have video of that later. I don't really know. But It doesn't look good for Ray Rice, so that's their biggest problem. But they did bring in Gary Kubiak, and I think whoever is there, I mean, we saw with the Texans what happened. I mean, Aaron Foster, he wasn't that great. He was an undrafted free agent. Yeah. And Kubiak gets there, and Foster starts taking off. Why? Because they just put in the zone blocking scheme, and it started looking really good for Foster. So maybe if they do the zone blocking thing and the Ravens, when they obviously need offensive linemen, then maybe it will really help Ray Rice kind of move up the field. I don't think he's going to be as good as Foster. He's not very fast. And either's Pierce. I think they need kind of more of a guy who can get up the field, and that's not either of them. So I don't really know what to expect from Ray Rice. I think right now if you can get Ray Rice in the third round, you should probably take a shot on him, but I'm not taking him in round two.
Okay. I would take him in round two. That's just me because there's a ton of upside for him.
No, that's I can't do it because to me, I see Maurice Jones-Drew. That's what I see. It's kind of flashing.
Yeah,
and not the good Maurice Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. But
we're talking about the Ravens, though, yeah. Not the Jaguars.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I see. So that's their biggest concern. It looks like they're going to have to address the another wide receiver position. But other than that, I mean, they'll need a new center, it looks like, and the right tackle.
They won't be getting Anquan Boldin back. He just signed a deal with the 49ers.
Yeah, that I can't believe they still let that guy go. They definitely needed to go after him, and they didn't. Looks like they are kind of going to maybe trade up and try to look to get Mike Evans. We'll see what happens. I don't think they should trade up to get him, but that's just me. Go on talking about the Steelers.
The Steelers, I mean, they actually had a good season last year. They didn't start off good, but, I mean, really, it's their defense is getting older. That's a big issue you're going to need to face in the offseason. The offense did okay. Like you had a lot of players like Le'Veon Bell, who had a really good rookie season, coming off of a foot injury. Nobody really knew what to expect out of him. I like Le'Veon Bell a lot next year. I'm actually keeping him in one of our leagues, and I pray the sophomore slump does not hurt him. That's there. You have Antonio Brown, who had a phenomenal year. You could be losing Emmanuel Sanders in the offseason. So you're going to have a player who we didn't see much of last year, Marcus Wheaton, maybe get a little bit more looks. Maybe they bring in a couple guys in the offseason. But I think it's getting younger on the defense is an issue.
Yeah.
And as well as finding a couple more weapons on the offense, even though Big Ben can really do it with almost anyone.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers were a non-penalty call away from going to the playoffs.
After the terrible start they had to the season.
They were 0-4. So, yeah. I mean, that's how it works. And a lot of the thing that people are talking about is the Steelers, if I remember correctly, lost, like, all their starting linemen at one point in the season. Like, they were starting complete scraps. So if that's the case where they were starting complete scraps, I mean, I'm looking at Le'Veon Bell.
And that offensive line was also atrocious last season.
That's what I'm saying, because they lost everybody on the line. So if they get everybody back and everybody can start playing better, I mean, Bell could have a monster year. I might have to move him up, and I think I have him too high already. He's like eighth. Eighth
best. I have him going two overall.
I won't blame you on Bell next year, but definitely their biggest concern is going to be signing either to decide whether they're going to re-sign Emmanuel Sanders. Looks like they're going to let him walk, but
a player we were actually talking about earlier, a player like Eric Decker, maybe could actually step into Pittsburgh and make a huge difference.
Yeah,
he is one of the hot commodity free agent wide receivers this season.
I just don't know if they'd go about $9 million.
It's just finding the team that's willing to pay him.
Yeah, I don't think they'd go $9 million. So I think Marcus Wheaton's the best chance.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe it was Peyton Manning that was making Decker look that good. Even though Decker did perform well with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, he did. He was the best receiver on the team, actually, with Tim Tebow. So you got that. But, I mean, there was games that Demaryius Thomas was hurt there, so we don't really know. Looks like the Steelers have an okay cap situation. I don't see how that's okay. Right? They're $3 million over the cap, but that was before all the trades and stuff that happened. We'll kind of see where they go there. I like the Steelers next year. I'm not going to say they haven't shot to win the division. I'm going to take that away from them. I think they missed the playoffs for the third straight year. What do you think?
I actually think they can possibly sneak in with wild card. I'll say that because you do have to face the Bengals, which that's a brick wall. And Andy Dalton, regular season, watch out. I mean, he'll make the playoffs all he wants, but he won't do anything. All
right, then let's move on to the Browns. This is my favorite team to talk about in the division.
Because there's so much talent there that if they just find the missing holes, that's a team that could be really good.
Yeah.
But it is the Browns, and the Browns seem to let down quite often. But I think
they hired Bill Parcells as to be a consultant, actually.
Yeah.
So that I think that was a move in the positive direction.
Absolutely.
Maybe he can advise them not to be idiots.
When it comes to that team, it is finding that quarterback who they trust. It's not Brandon Whedon, obviously. It's not Jason Campbell. And looking at their depth chart, actually, right now, they have Brian Hoyer at the top of the list, given that they do not draft a quarterback in the draft.
Actually, funny story about that. I actually have heard that regardless of whether the Browns draft like a Johnny Manziel,
yeah,
he's not going to be the starter right away. Even if they take him at fourth, they're not going to make that guy the starter. No matter who they draft, what they're going to do is Brian Hoyer is going to be the starting quarterback coming into the season, which makes zero sense to me, because if you're drafting a quarterback at four, I think you have to start him. But no, they said they're going to go Brian Hoyer,
yeah,
no matter what.
This is the Cleveland Browns organization we have come to know. The quarterback's position is going to be interesting to see who we're going to see next year. It's got mm-hmm. either going to be Brian Hoyer or possibly a rookie quarterback. We just mm-hmm. don't know yet. The running back game is out. It's just open wide. Like, it just depends on
who Edwin they're going to Baker. I think they bring somebody else in other yeah. than Edwin Baker. But right now, Edwin Baker is going to be the starting running back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players that they could go with in the draft or possibly free agent. It's just kind of having to wait and see. You have a player like, is it Carlos Hyde? Plays for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Played for Ohio State. They could be looking at him. They did let go of Trent Richardson, which, I mean, it's actually looking good for them now.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have the receiving game there. Maybe bring in another receiver to help out Josh Gordon. You have Jordan Cameron, but definitely there was that big hole last year. They released Devon Bess a couple days ago. Greg Little is just full of drops, and he can't hold on to a ball whatsoever. So I think bringing in another player to help out that receiving game, finding a running back that can stay healthy and play consistent. The defense is good. The defense is there. Like, I think if you put a good offense on that team, the defense is just going to follow along with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is my favorite team. This is a team that I really want to pick every single year to win the division, even though they don't really have a chance, just because the Ravens are going to have a good record, the Bengals are going to have a good record, the Steelers are going to have a solid record. So the Browns are always going to finish on the below 500 side, but they're so talented. They have so much possibility. I really like Jordan Cameron. I don't think Jordan Cameron's going to diminish because North Turner's gone. I mean, I did that column a while back where I wrote about the fact that Norv Turner actually doesn't make tight ends that much better. He just takes stable tight ends and keeps them going. And the only case that didn't favor my point was Jordan Cameron. He actually made Jordan Cameron because Jordan Cameron didn't do anything before he got there.
Yeah.
But like with Antonio Gates was already good before Turner got there. And then a couple more tight ends that he had down the road. I don't even know the names of them right now because I'm not looking at it. But they definitely weren't good. And it looks like, I mean, number two wide receiver is the biggest issue for me. I
think the running game is the biggest issue.
Yeah, maybe. I think Baker could be okay. But, I mean, I think they bring in a veteran.
I don't see him as an every down back.
No, but I think that they bring in a veteran anyways. But I don't know if they're going to address the wide receiver two position. That's what worries me. I really hope that they don't decide they're going to roll with Greg Little.
He is terrible.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, they got rid of Devon Bess, so I mean, who else is going to step in?
Exactly. It'd be Greg Little right now. That's why I'm saying that they need to draft Sammy Watkins. I'm fine with Brian Hoyer for another year. If you're bad, Jameis Winston next year. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, that's my point. Like, either you're getting Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, or how am I blanking? Maybe those are the only two I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay, well, either one, you're getting one of those two. So just be happy with that. Roll with Brian Hoyer this year and just kind of do that and then take Sammy Watkins at four if he's available. Then the Bengals, the final team.
The Bengals, really what it comes down to is their defense is good. They just got a lot of injuries this past mm-hmm. season. They have the offense, without a doubt, to make a run and possibly win a Super Bowl. There was a lot of NFL analysts that actually picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl last season.
I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, but you just have Andy Dalton who just cannot get it going in the playoffs, and he falls off so much after he puts up really good numbers in the regular season. He's really good at home, but whenever he's on the road or in the playoffs, he just fades away, and you can't have that as an elite quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Jones finished as a top 25 wide receiver last year in fantasy points, so I thought that was pretty nice. You look at Andy Dalton, I think what we saw, the top five fantasy production is gone. That was nice. But you look at what Jay Gruden likes to do. Jay Gruden likes to throw the ball. He loves to throw the ball. Hugh Jackson loves to run the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bengals do. If they're going to take on a heavy run approach, Giovanni Bernard is not going to be the answer.
They actually reported that Bernard's workload is going to border on 300 touches, which, I mean, that's not...
That's a disaster.
Yeah.
That's a disaster to me. I don't want to see Bernard getting 300 touches. No, I like him at 250.
Yeah.
That's where I like him.
You don't want to give that guy too many touches and risk an injury that could really carry on throughout his career.
Well, Le'Veon Bell, 300 touches. Eddie Lacy, 300 touches. Giovanni Bernard, 250, please. Yeah. Like, that's why... And, like, I think that signing Darren McFadden would be a good move.
I mean, you bring him in. Hugh Jackson's in Cincinnati now, which Hugh Jackson had Darren McFadden in Oakland. And, I mean, maybe it's just going to need a change of scenery for Darren McFadden to really get him out of his shell and to hopefully have a fully healthy season, because that's been the biggest issue with him. The talent's there.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland has a horrible offensive line. So Cincinnati actually has a pretty solid offensive line, which could really help out Darren McFadden and take a lot of pressure off.
And I know what people are going to say. People are going to say McFadden's not going to be healthy for the whole year. I don't care. If I can get McFadden for 6 games and he can just take, you know, 50 carries away from Giovanni Bernard over 6 games, I'm fine with that. Touches the ball 10 times a game, I'm fine with that. That did my job. That means he's only going to get 250. And then you can just give the rest to Benjarre Greenells and just rely on him, because you'll still have him. He'll still be there.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at it this way, you bring in Darren McFadden. The passing game is there in Cincinnati. The thing with Darren McFadden in Oakland, which was the issue, is that they didn't really have a passing game. So they relied so much on Darren McFadden and gave him so many touches, which could resemble why he got injured so much. So you have a lot of pressure being taken off of him in Cincinnati if he goes there. With AJ Green, you have Jermaine Gresham, Tyler Eifert, Marvin Jones, who are taking a lot of pressure off of him in the receiving game, because the passing and receiving game is going
to
be there.
Yeah, Darren McFadden would never be the starter for the Bengals. I want to get that a point across. If he goes to the Bengals, he's going to maybe see 7 to 10 carries a game, which is perfect for me, because that ends him with like 150 touches total, which I think is fine, 150 touches. And, I mean, the Bengals are actually going to be a run-first team next year. I think it's going to shock a lot of people, but Dalton, I mean, that's why I'm kind of worried about AJ Green. I don't know what's going to happen with them. Like, I don't know how much they're going to throw the ball, because in Oakland, they didn't throw the ball at all, but they also didn't have a weapon like AJ Green.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how they balance that, because anytime that Hugh Jackson's called the plays, they ran the ball. So we'll just kind of go from there. We got a couple questions. Let's start with the first one. In a 2QB league, when do you take your first quarterback?
2-quarterback league, I mean, it kind of just depends on who's gone by the time you get to your draft pick. 2 quarterbacks actually were not as important as I had originally thought this past season in our admin league. I had rolled this past season, seriously, with Andy Dalton and who else? I went with Ryan Fitzpatrick a couple times, but that was not... I drafted Eli Manning, which he was absolutely terrible. I even went with Case Keenum at times. I still made the playoffs. So if you're looking to make the playoffs, the quarterbacks aren't that big of an issue, because, I mean, you find quarterbacks who burst out onto the scene, like last year with Nick Foles, Jay Cutler, Phillip Rivers. You have Andy Dalton put up a lot of fantasy points. And really, I think you should wait, honestly, a little bit on quarterbacks.
Third round?
I would not have an issue with you taking your quarterback third round. I think you grab a good running back and a good wide receiver with your first 2 picks, then worry about a quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's exactly where I'm going. I took the same approach as you. I waited the third round to get a quarterback. My first quarterback was Cam Newton. The problem is I wasn't really smart with my first 2 picks. I thought going in my team was amazing. I got LeSean McCoy, amazing. Then I got Trenton, I thought was amazing. And then I got Cam Newton, who he played okay. But see, so going into the season, I thought I was set. Those 3 guys I knew, I thought I was going to have a good year. I didn't, because Trent Richardson didn't perform. And I did not get a chance to go after Nick Foles because we were in the waiver system. So there's a problem like that. But if you can get an Aaron Rodgers in like round 2, why not?
Exactly.
Because at this point, I'm looking at, maybe even at the end of round 1, because I'm starting to look at the end of round 1, it's ugly. I mean, I do a mock draft. I get to the end of round 1. I don't really know what to do.
It is. There's, because towards the end of the first round, there's a lot of question marks about most players. I mean, you have players like Ray Rice, CJ Spiller, And a lot of those players, you just have so many question marks about Doug Martin, which they actually just signed Bobby Rainey to a 1-year deal there in Tampa. So, I mean, I think you going back to the question, when you should draft a quarterback, if an elite, one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football is there towards the end of the round or towards the end of the first round, don't use an early first round pick on him, in our opinion. Draft Aaron Rodgers if he falls late. If not, you can always settle Nick Foles. He's amazing for two quarterback leagues. I actually like Johnny Manziel a lot next year, especially in two quarterback leagues. So there's always those quarterbacks you can find. You can always find Ben Roethlisberger for cheap, and he always puts on numbers.
Well, yeah, because actually, I know I was doing a mock draft. Ben Roethlisberger's going undrafted normally.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, so he's going to be a guy who's going to be there on the free agent market that you can easily pick up. So do we take another chance on CJ Spiller?
I think this is his last go-around, in my opinion. I think if he cannot get it going this year, maybe he finds another home in the next couple seasons. But it looks like Buffalo is trying to work out that offensive line and get that secure. And they saw what C.J. Spiller can do. They just need to get that guy holes and the ball and a lot of room.
We're not taking him in the first round.
No,
absolutely not. Not in the second round.
It's so tough. He's the type of guy, if you pass on him, there's always that risk that you just missed out on one of the best fantasy running backs for that upcoming season. I think you can use a third-round pick on him.
I'm beginning of round three.
Yeah.
That's where I'd like to see him go. If he's on the board in the beginning of round three, I could see you drafting him and being okay with it. Because even if he busts at round three, who cares?
Yeah, you're not losing your first or second round pick. But wait on until three is the earliest you should draft him, in our opinion.
So we kind of want to see, one, who's going to play quarterback for him next year. Because if that's true that Michael Vick's going there, I think that could be a lot more interesting for him. And I think that if they upgrade the line, that could be a lot more interesting. So I kind of want to see what they do. I guarantee you Fred Jackson's going to be there next year.
Yeah.
So just count on that. He's going to get touches. If they said they're going to give him a ball until he throws up, don't believe him. I mean, we already fell for that once.
Yeah.
And then the last question we have is, and where do you draft Josh Gordon? Because you know how talented he is, but will he have a reliable quarterback?
I mean, you obviously saw that the quarterback position really didn't matter for Josh Gordon this past season.
It was Brandon Weeden and Jason Campbell, and he was
Brian Hoyer at times.
Yeah. He was the number one fantasy wide receiver.
And like we said, who knows if Cleveland's even going to bring in another wide receiver to help him out. So it's Josh Gordon no matter what. If he exceeds his numbers from this past season, then that's insane. It's absolutely amazing. Because
yeah, I don't think he'll do that.
What he did was historic. When it comes to where I would draft him, middle, late, second round. No problem with that whatsoever. I mean, when it comes to wide receivers, who you take over him? I take Calvin Johnson over him. I take Calvin Johnson over Josh Gordon.
He might be the second. It really depends. Like, I would think about taking Demaryius Thomas over him.
Yeah.
That's not a guarantee because I want to see if they can re-sign Decker. They cut Bailey, so they might be able to re-sign Decker.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting what they do. So we'll do that. I'll take him. Now, where I get in the next question is, do I take an AJ Green over him, who's not going to be in a pass-happy offense? Do I take
Dez Bryant
over him? And that's where I go back and forth on. I can go all day on that. I know what Dez Bryant is. So that's the thing. I know Dez Bryant's going to be healthy. I know he's going to do that. And their new offense coordinator said he wants to get Dez the ball more. So that gets me excited for Dez Bryant. But I don't necessarily know that that's what they're going to do. But definitely, I think if they draft Sammy Watkins, what do you think happens to Josh Gordon?
I think that only helps him more.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you're obviously going to get looks taken away from him, but there's going to be
less
so much. Yeah, he's not going to get double teamed. That's the type of guy who can easily burn past someone and get some open space. And when that guy has the ball, you don't know where it's going to. You don't know what's going to happen. He can go all the way, as you saw him bust off a 90-yard touchdown this past season. That's insane. So Watkins helps him.
Yeah, a couple more things we want to discuss here before we let you guys go. I was listening to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Matthew Berry was talking about all like the combine stuff, and he suggests that Joik Bell is going to be in a split role with Reggie Bush 50-50 next year.
Yeah, and I mean, Joik Bell is definitely a very important player for that offense. I mean, even with Reggie Bush's health concerns at times, but I don't understand why you wouldn't give him half of the carries. I mean, the guy performed. Mm-hmm. He performed last year. Both of those players each had over 500 receiving yards and rushing yards, and that's the first time that's ever happened in NFL history. So I like it a lot. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, he actually, if you look at him, he actually, Reggie Bush actually has a fumbling problem. So maybe taking touches away from him will be a good thing. Definitely not good for a Reggie Bush owners, though. If you own him in keeper leagues and stuff, really sucks because you're counting on Reggie Bush on being the number one guy. The coaching staff thinks that they even used Reggie Bush in the wrong way. And, of course, the Lions also said that they're going to look to draft a wide receiver is kind of the plan right now because they don't believe that they have a good number three wide receiver on the team. They think that all the receivers outside of Calvin Johnson's are fours. So they definitely need help with a wide receiver. So it's definitely where they'll go. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say, though, that they don't use Drake Bell in that wide receiver three slot? They did it a few times last year. So there's a lot of there's a really good bright future for Drake Bell next season, and definitely PPR leagues. But, guys, let us know if you have any questions on our Facebook page. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. We love fantasy football. If you guys have any questions whatsoever, send them to us. We love doing these. We will go over your questions on our podcast. And as far as I know, I don't have anything left.
Nope, neither do I, guys. Peace out.
Peace out, guys.